Welcome to Daily Scripture. Today's reading is Luke 23, and today the complete chapter is included in the podcast. If you would like to read along, the episode notes include a link to Luke 23 in the same translation. This episode is called The King Saves Another. We will first locate the chapter in Luke's story, then hear the passage in full, and finally stay with its central movement, the innocent king giving mercy to the guilty. Luke 23 continues the final Jerusalem sequence. Jesus has been arrested, denied by Peter, and questioned by the council. Now the leaders take him to Pilate and present the case in political terms. The chapter moves through the Roman hearing, the road to execution, the cross, Jesus' death, and his burial before the Sabbath. Luke 24 will begin after that Sabbath rest. Hear now the complete chapter, Luke 23, from the Berean Standard Bible. Then the whole council rose and led Jesus away to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man subverting our nation, forbidding payment of taxes to Caesar, and proclaiming himself to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they kept insisting, "He stirs up the people all over Judea with his teaching. He began in Galilee and has come all the way here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean, and learning that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased. He had wanted to see him for a long time because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform a miracle. Herod questioned Jesus at great length, but he gave no answer. Meanwhile, the chief priests and scribes stood there, vehemently accusing him, and even Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in a fine robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this time they had been enemies. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him here in your presence and found him not guilty of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing deserving of death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But they all cried out in unison, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been imprisoned for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "What evil has this man done? I have found in him no offense worthy of death. So after I punish him, I will release him." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices for Jesus to be crucified, and their clamor prevailed. So Pilate sentenced that their demand be met. As they had requested, he released the one imprisoned for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, including women who kept mourning and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Look, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and breasts that never nursed.' At that time, they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things while the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were also led away to be executed with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his garments by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also mocked him and came up to offer him sour wine. "If you are the king of the Jews," they said, "save yourself." Above him was posted an inscription, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there heaped abuse on him. "Are you not the Christ?" he said. "Save yourself and us." But the other one rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same judgment? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what our actions deserve. but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had happened, he gave glory to God, saying, Surely this was a righteous man. And when all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all those who knew Jesus, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a council member named Joseph, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision or action. He was from the Judean town of Arimathea and was waiting for the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock, where no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned to prepare spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. That was Luke 23. Luke makes Jesus' innocence impossible to miss. Pilate finds no basis for the charges. Herod uncovers nothing deserving death. Pilate says it again, then repeats it a third time. Yet he does not act on the judgment he announces. The crowd grows louder, Barabbas is released, and Jesus is handed over. The guilty man walks free, while the man declared innocent is condemned. Luke is not asking us to mistake volume for truth or authority for courage. Pilate has power, but he uses it to surrender responsibility. Jesus enters the place of the condemned without becoming guilty. At the cross, the same challenge comes from several directions. Leaders, soldiers, and one criminal treat self-rescue as the proof Jesus must provide. If he is truly the chosen king, he should come down, but the sign above him names him king while he remains there. His refusal to turn power inward becomes the setting in which he gives mercy to someone else. The second criminal tells the truth about himself. He does not minimize his guilt or present a repaired life. He recognizes that Jesus has done nothing wrong and entrusts his future to the crucified king. Jesus answers with assurance and personal presence. The man's hope rests entirely on who Jesus is and what Jesus can give. He has no time left to improve his record, prove his sincerity, or make himself useful. Grace reaches him with empty hands. The king does not save himself, and he does save another. Darkness settles over the land, and the temple veil is torn. Jesus's final cry is a prayer of trust to the Father. The court sentence does not become the final authority over him. He entrusts himself into the Father's hands. A Roman centurion responds by giving glory to God and calling Jesus righteous. Then Joseph acts with courage. The women see where the body is laid, and the Sabbath begins. Luke allows the chapter to end in real death, real grief, and quiet faithfulness. The reader knows that Luke 24 is coming, but Luke 23 does not hurry past the tomb. The good news becomes personal here, without becoming sentimental. The criminal is not welcomed because guilt is unimportant. He names what is true. He is welcomed because Jesus is merciful and has authority even from the cross. That order matters today. Bring one honest place into the presence of Christ without bargaining. A failure may be repairable, partly repairable, or beyond your power to undo. Tell Jesus the truth before making promises about the person you will become. Receive mercy, then take the next faithful step from acceptance rather than panic. That step may involve confession, restitution, patience, or refusing to hide. None of it purchases the welcome of Christ. Obedience grows from grace already given. Lord Jesus, you remained the innocent king while powerful voices demanded your death. You did not use your strength to escape the path of love. You gave a guilty man mercy, assurance, and life with you. Bring us into that same honesty. Strip away our bargaining and our need to defend ourselves before you. Teach us to confess what is true, receive what only you can give, and walk in obedience without trying to purchase your welcome. Give courage for repair where repair is possible, patience where it is slow, and trust where the outcome remains beyond our control. Keep our hope in your authority and your grace. Amen. Today's scripture reading was from the Berean Standard Bible. The Berean Standard Bible text is dedicated to the public domain. A link to read Luke 23 in the same translation is included with this episode.